This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and I'm Kurt, and I will be your host this evening, and I'm looking forward to the show tonight because we've got Dee in the studio, who is an FTM guy, and he's going to be getting a bit personal with us and telling his story about his battles with alcohol, and we're going to talk about drugs and alcohol within the trans community, because unfortunately it is common, and I think it's all sparked from anxiety and depression within the trans community, which doesn't come from being transgender, but it comes from the negative stigmas against transgender people, discrimination, violence, not being accepted, all sorts of things, really. So it's a really important topic we're talking about tonight. So send us a text on 0427 joy949 and you can join in the discussion as well. You can also email onair at joy.org.au or call the front desk at 1300 joy949. So next up, we've got a song called Lowrider. Hope you enjoy it. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Joy 94.9 and you're on Transpositions with Kurt. And I've got Dee in the studio. How are you, Dee?
I'm pretty good. How are you, Kurt?
Oh, not too bad. I just took a photo with Paige Phoenix out in the waiting room and had to sit on his knee, so I'm a little bit flustered.
Breathe.
So, Dee, I've got you in today because I really like your story. You've told me bits and pieces here and there, and I find you really encouraging with what you've got to say. And I think that a lot of people might be able to relate to your story.
So, I hope so.
I hope so too, yeah. So, you're a trans guy.
Yep.
And when did you... Have you known that you're transgender your whole life?
Look, in hindsight, I can probably go back a long, long way and go, definitely. You know, I certainly grew up expecting to be a boy.
Mm.
I really did. I hung out doing boy stuff. I had boys' toys. I didn't, you know, do girl stuff as such.
Mm.
So, yeah, if I go right back there and look at it, definitely.
Yep.
I wanted to be a boy. Mm. Always did.
Yep. So when was that moment where you knew you could transition?
That wasn't until about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I came into the scene where I met a couple of trans guys and went, oh my God, you know, I certainly had known more about the M2Fs, but had no concept of the trans, which is pretty sad in the scheme of things because, you know, at my age, I thought I would have known, but I'm not a computer person. So It was only really recent.
So how old are you, Dee?
I'm 49.
49.
Yep.
And you've been looking like a guy for how long now?
Well, I pretty well, you know, became a, shall I say, lesbian at 26.
Okay.
I was definitely very male dressing anyway.
Yeah, butch.
Pretty much so.
Yep.
If you want to put, yeah. I mean, you know, you got to put yourself into somewhere and that's where I went, you know, butch dyke.
Yep,
cool. And so... Yeah, pretty well from about 16, I started dressing a lot more masculine, but not until 26, 27, where I totally went more masculine.
Okay, yeah. So shopping for in the guys section and...
Totally, yeah. Totally, you know, removing that uncomfortable dress wearing thing.
Mm. That evil thing. So you dealt with a lot of anxiety and depression with that sort of, I'm transgender but not sure what to do with myself?
Well, I couldn't say that I had those words at all, but I was very, very uncomfortable within myself. You know, I was uncomfortable being female. I kind of knew that, but I had to work with what I had. I didn't know that I could change. So, for me, I was just trying to work with what I had, and that kind of, I didn't necessarily call it depression or anxiety, really, but I definitely could say that now, when I look back.
Yeah.
But I didn't recognize it then, because I didn't really know what that was.
And so, did you drink to mask whatever, you know, you didn't know what it was back then. Did you mask whatever that bad feeling was? Is that what the drinking
Absolutely.
Was for?
I remember having to go to Christmas. We were going out to a restaurant, which was unusual. I was seven, and I had to wear a dress. And I had a fight with my parents because I didn't want to wear a dress. My mother had made it. You know, my sisters were wearing matching tops. It was embarrassing. But I didn't want to wear a dress, and I remember it really, really how emotionally it felt. We went out to Christmas lunch, and my father allowed me, because it had been such an emotional morning, to have a couple of sips of alcohol. And from that point, I realized that I felt better, that all of that stress and all of that worry disappeared from me having this stuff.
And did you forget you were wearing a dress?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So absolutely. So that made that go away.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And from that point, I chased it.
And so you were seven back then.
Mm-hmm.
Did you actually chase it when you were a seven-year-old? Did you ask people to buy you alcohol from
home? No, no. But I certainly, if I could get an opportunity to have a couple of mouthfuls, I would take it.
Yeah.
Obviously, my parents weren't big drinkers, so it was very hard.
Mm.
But I remember kind of by the time I got to kind of early teens, I was pretty well trying to get my father to buy me the little miniature bottles because I decided I'd collect them.
Yeah, they are cute.
They are cute.
But they're also very dangerous with
Absolutely.
What's inside them. Yeah. I also had my battles with alcohol, and my parents weren't big drinkers either. Do you think that there's something in that where your parents aren't big drinkers, so you kind of go, oh, I want to try it, as opposed to if your parents are big drinkers, you can actually see the effects that alcohol are having on them, and you go, I don't want to be like that. I'm not going to drink.
To be honest, all I knew was what it did for me.
Mm.
And that took away all of that horrible, uncomfortable, not feeling right feeling. It took it away.
Yeah.
That felt good. At that point, that's all my existence. I didn't care who drank it or where it drank. You know,
yeah.
It didn't really come into my head.
Okay.
And I think if, you know, if my parents were big drinkers, I probably would have been a lot worse off.
Yeah.
Because I needed it. I really needed it.
And they would have had it in the house and you might have raided their cupboards.
It would have been a lot freer. And if they're drunk, they won't notice that I'm drinking it.
Yeah, yep.
I could have got away with a lot more, you know.
Yep. I suppose alcohol nowadays is kind of, it's kind of funny to be drunk, and there's this humour around it, and it's let's all get sloshed and do stupid things and have a laugh.
Yeah.
And it's really, there isn't really a taboo around it like there is with illegal drugs.
Correct.
And things like that. So it is everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be everywhere for a while because, I mean, there's, you know, there's all sorts of safe alcohol legislations coming in at the moment, but it, there's nothing, you know, apart from sort of putting plain packaging on cigarettes and all that,
yep.
You know, they're quite happy to tax tobacco but not alcohol.
Yeah.
And I just get really confused about that.
Well, I think it's just, you know, it's become quite the norm. It's the norm to drink. It's the norm to go out and have a drink.
Mm.
I mean, I've gone out and people have gone, I'll get you a drink. No, it's okay. I don't want one.
Yeah.
Why don't you want one?
Yeah, they go,
why would you not want one?
Yeah, I get that too.
Well, yeah. I'm sober, you know, blah, blah years.
Mm.
And they'll go, oh, but you should be right now. You know, it's once again, the lack of knowledge.
Yep.
And why should that be normal? Why should you go out and get pissed be normal?
Exactly.
Why can't you go out and just
be normal, be sober?
Well, actually just have a Coke and a good time.
Yeah.
But yep. No, that's not the case.
It is not the case. We'll talk a little bit more about that after the break. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. I hope you're enjoying our discussion this evening. If you would like to join in, please SMS on 0427 Joy 949 or phone the front desk. You can speak to Jerry on 1300 Joy 949 or you can email onair@joy.org.au and make sure you do check out our Facebook page. If you go to the Joy website, joy.org.au, click on Transpositions and there is a link to our Facebook page there. So please like it and share it around and keep Transpositions going on the radio. So Dee, we were just talking about how alcohol is readily available everywhere and it's not illegal, and I've always battled with the fact that marijuana is illegal, and it is a lot more, it's a lot more natural, it's a lot less harmless than alcohol, and I'm pretty sure the statistics, which I know that you don't like, Dee.
No.
They would tell us that, you know, there's a lot less deaths from pot smoking than alcohol, and alcohol's right up there with as a cause of death.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, to me, I don't, yes, once again, do statistics because that's not my field. I can come from a personal point of view. And a personal point of view is it depends on the person. You know, for starters, myself smoking pot, I'm one paranoid guy. Yeah. I cannot do it.
Yeah.
So my being can't handle that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also allergic to alcohol.
Yes.
You know, so I think there's a big case that could go into that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I don't want to agree or disagree. I think that both can be bad.
Yeah.
Or both can be okay. Sometimes, you know, a drink can be all right for a person.
Mm.
But, you know, for me, one drink is, you know, too much and 100's not enough.
Yeah.
But, you know, a smoke on a joint and I'm a blubbering mess over in the corner, yeah. you know?
Freaking out.
But I can drink a couple of bottles of bourbon.
Mm.
Know what I mean?
So you've got your vices now, which aren't alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
You like your cigarettes?
Absolutely.
And you love your coffee?
I love my coffee. There's nothing wrong with coffee.
There is nothing wrong with coffee. yeah, I love coffee and cigarettes also, and they're my vices. And I choose not to drink because I feel that if I had one, it would lead to 100. Exactly what you said just then, Dee. Yeah.
There's no stopping in it.
There's no stopping. Yeah. And there's some people that can just have a beer with lunch and that's it.
A half a beer. They can get up and walk away from a, you know. From
leave some dregs.
A half a pot still there. And I'm like, what is wrong with these people?
Yeah. And
now that's sad.
Yeah.
You know, but I would. I would look at it and go, they just left a half a bottle of wine and walked out.
Mm.
They've walked out.
But now, do you point and laugh at drunk people now that you're sober?
Oh, I can't stand drunk people.
I can't stand it. Can you
stand? It's okay if they've had a couple of drinks, but when they go to that drunk, stupid, I don't even understand them.
Nah, there's no point. And they don't even know if you're smiling or trying to listen. They don't even know if you're...
Well, they don't care.
They don't care, yeah.
I didn't care when I was pissed.
No, not at all.
Didn't care.
Did you wake up and not remember what the hell you'd done?
Blackout drinking was a big part of my drinking.
Mm.
Definitely, and there's many, many cases where I have no idea. I mean, it used to be a really good joke, you know. If I didn't remember it, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, but sadly, there was a lot of stuff that did happen and a lot of stuff that morally is not okay, and I hate it.
Yeah.
You know, I did a lot of stuff in my drinking that was just not okay to other people, and it, you know, and that just becomes this kind of, you know, circle or catch 23 where, you know, you don't like it, so you have a drink to get rid of that one too, mm-hmm. you know, and you have a drink and squash that one down too and that one down, and it becomes layer upon layer of just all this crap that's piled on top of the actual initial problem, which was I just wanted to be a boy.
Yep, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm hiding it under layer upon layer of more crap.
Yeah, more and more.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's what... When you do decide that you want to be sober and you have your first day without a drink,
is
the day when you have to deal with all those problems that you've masked and all the problems that are backlogged up that you've just drunk over those problems.
You know, that isn't the day. At that day, you're just trying to survive physically because your body's just going into absolute meltdown physically.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the hardest things is that now you go into physical withdrawals. You haven't even got to the emotional mental stuff yet.
Yep.
That's the hardest bit.
Wake up and sweating.
Oh, it's bad.
Yeah. There is a risk of death when detoxing from alcohol, isn't there?
Correct.
Yes. Which is shitty because then that puts people off from detoxing.
Well, one of the things that I always recommend, and sadly I didn't do it, but do detox correct by going to a hospital or detox nurse. Do not do it on your own bat. You need the help, and it's really important, and you must be watched.
Yep, absolutely, yeah. Because I think it's one of the only drugs that there's a risk of death with.
Yeah, I didn't know about that when I got sober.
Yeah.
I had no concept. Once again, I wasn't big on the computer research thing and who would research getting sober.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I actually got sober, it was a very bare of the moment thought pattern. There wasn't a lot of time between I need help to that's it, I'm stopping.
Okay.
So for me, I just, as stubborn as I am, locked myself away in my house, put a sign on the door that said, please do not, it said actually, fuck off.
It's all right,
and
you
I
can
did say,
it.
I did say please yeah. at the bottom of it because I'm polite, and I locked myself away for 10 days.
10 days. Yep, and that's the standard detox. 10 days, isn't it?
I have no idea. That's when I could walk outside the door.
Okay,
I've heard. Prior to that, I crawled.
Yep,
and it would take me something like 4 hours to crawl from one end of the house, which was a small cottage, to the toilet.
Mm.
It would take me 4 hours.
Mm. Stay tuned in because Dee's got more to talk about his story with battling alcohol. Next up, we've got we're going to play some Led Zeppelin for you. So I hope you enjoy. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. And I'm Kurt and I've got Dee in the studio. And we're talking about problems with alcohol and Dee's personal story battling alcohol. Now, Dee, you did mention Alcoholics Anonymous that you used.
Yes, absolutely.
And if anyone's looking into Alcoholics Anonymous, you can check them out at aamelbourne.org.au. So what was your experience with Alcoholics Anonymous, Dee?
Well, AA was where I was able to get sober. You know, it's a really tricky thing, you know. I drank daily. I, towards the end of my drinking, was a top-up drunk. My world and everything to do with it was about alcohol. So to put down alcohol and get sober means that your whole world doesn't exist anymore. You know, it's really, really foreign. And kind of a big thing that we say is that you're all of a sudden an alien.
Mm.
You know, so AA for me gave me tools, it gave me friendships, it gave me a social life, so to speak, because I did a lot of meetings every week. So, and this became like my, instead of going to the pub, became my social outlet where everyone was there for the same reason. All had, you know, pretty well gone through exactly what I was going through. You know, and so they understood, you know, and they hand you the, you know, half-filled cup of coffee so you don't spill it because you're in detox and you can't hold a full one.
Yeah.
And, you know, they support you. Unbelievable. Mm. They get up, they share their stories. You know, you sit there and go, wow, that's me. I'm not alone, you know. And without that, and my partner at the time was also getting sober, so we were both going through the same thing. How we survived that, I'm not really sure. But, you know, I think she's listening tonight too.
Hello.
But, you know, you need something. You have to fill up that gap.
Yes.
And that's a pretty big gap.
Yeah. I wondered with Alcoholics Anonymous, because you're meeting like-minded people, is there that temptation to pull someone aside and say, let's go to the Bottle-O together and just get wasted?
Look, probably within it, I don't know. But for me, I mean, one of the biggest things was the meetings that I went to, and they're all very different in their structure because no one's the actual boss. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So for me, it was the meetings I went to, I had to stand up for the first 90 days and say my name and say that I'm an alcoholic and that I'm so many days, you know, for the first 90 days. And I swore, black and blue, that I would never do that again.
Yeah.
So ego pretty well kept me sober.
Okay.
In that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, I don't believe that I would live through another detox.
Okay.
Personally.
Yep. So going back to, you know, your ego basically saying, I don't want to drink, you know, because you're ego. What was that point where you and yourself in your heart, you said no more alcohol? Rather than people saying, Dee, you should stop drinking, and then you're going, yeah, yeah, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you kind of drink as an FU when people do that to you, you know.
Yeah, and I did have that happen, you know. And I look, I used to walk into the pub to my stool, to my pot.
Yep.
In my pub, and it was my stool, my corner, my pot. And, you know, call myself an alcoholic. But there was a day where it actually sunk in. It wasn't a joke anymore. And that day came, actually, when I was confronted by a friend of mine, a close friend, and I'd slept with her partner in a blackout. And I don't remember it, but the look on her face kills me.
Mm.
And that was my rock bottom.
Yeah.
That was time. I rang AA. Sadly, the meeting at that point in time in the country town I was in, which was Woodend, was right across from the pub on a Friday night.
Mm.
Didn't quite work for me. I wasn't that strong. But I did detox and I did start meetings within Melbourne.
Okay.
I came down to Melbourne to do it.
Yep. So, apart from Alcoholics Anonymous, did you use anything like Direct Line or Lifeline?
No, I never really thought about it. I would usually just get pissed and call my friends at God Almighty Hours. Because, to be honest, until I really got sober, I didn't actually really consider that I had a problem in the first part of my drinking. Towards the end of my drinking, when, you know, I had a partner say, you have to kind of, you know, do something about your drinking, and we split up, naturally, because there was nothing wrong with my drinking. You know, my sister asked me, did I have a drinking problem? I went, no, I don't have a drinking problem. Because the biggest thing is we lie. Mm. But that the lies are actually become our honest truth. It's so muddled up. So, you know, I didn't really consider that. At the end of my top-up drinking and I wanted to commit suicide was when I was starting to actually see that there was a real issue.
Mm.
But by that stage, I was drinking at home.
Yeah, on your own.
I was hibernating.
Yep, yep. I actually got to that point as well, Dee, where I just wanted to get drunk, but I didn't want anyone to see me because I had all these cringeable memories. So I was like, oh, well, I'll just do it at home then.
Yeah, that's right. So I just, you know, I just hit it home. You know, to be honest, and one of the things that I never realized is that I didn't realize that it's not normal to drink every night.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that it's not normal to sit at home, watch TV and drink three bottles of wine.
Yeah.
That's actually not normal. That was a real shock to me.
Mm.
You know, I didn't hang out with people that didn't drink like me. So my world was, that was normal.
Yeah.
And when I got sober, I realized that, like, there's people out there that actually go out and have dinner, and you know what? They get water.
Yeah.
No, is that weird?
They have good, clean fun, Dee.
But they order water and communicate with one another and have a really nice meal.
That's right, yeah.
I'd go out and go, no, I'm not hungry, but I'll have another four drinks.
Yeah. Because the food is taking up room that beer could be using.
Well, I'm not going to waste money on food.
Who needs food?
Crazy. So these things are things I didn't know in my world. I didn't actually register that.
Yeah.
I mean, I drank for 23 years every day except for 10 days.
Yeah.
So my world was that.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't go to concerts and I didn't do stuff because that would require that I would have to drive.
That's
also
it.
The money. Mm. I mean, really. Mm. $70 or go to the pub.
Yeah. Talking about driving, did you ever drink drive?
Oh, yeah.
And did you ever face any consequences for that?
Yes. In the last part of my drinking, see, prior to that, you know, they were a lot more lenient. But one night I left after I managed pubs. Handy.
Yeah.
I'd left the job, finished the work that night, had a couple of, well, I said one drink to the cop, but had a couple big drinks, almost buckets, and he pulled me up.
Yeah.
And I knew him, country town, you know, and it was awful.
Mm. Did you feel embarrassed?
It was so embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know, he gave me time to drink water, try and bring it down, blah, blah, blah. I was lying to him.
Yeah.
You know, and I got done. I got done for 6 months.
Okay.
So I moved closer into town opposite the pub.
And after that 6 months when you got your license back, did you have any more issues or did you learn from that?
I didn't drink drive, but by that stage I was living right across the road from the pub.
Yep.
So I didn't need to.
You drank, walked. Drunk,
well,
walked.
Yeah, staggered. But pretty well, I can't say that I was actually, like, you know, if I was happened to be going to work, which ended up not happening because I couldn't, I would have been over the limit in the mornings when I was driving.
Yep. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. We're going to have a little bit more of Dee's story coming up after the song, which is Daddy Cool Eagle Rock.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. And we've had an email here from Andrew, who is from the FTM shed, and he says, wow, well done, guys. This is an amazing show. Thanks, Andrew. That's awesome.
Thanks, Andrew.
So, Dee, you had a bit of fun with Andrew last Sunday at the FTM shed.
Absolutely. We had great fun. We did a bit of a presentation on flagging, colour coding for different preferences, and we, it was so, like, we were just in fits of laughter. It was very funny.
Yeah, awesome. Very funny. Awesome. If you're a trans boy, you should definitely get down to FTM Shed. You can email them at ftmshed@gmail.com. So, yeah, get into it. It's heaps of fun, and you can meet Dee, and you can meet me when I do get down. I'm a busy boy at the moment. But, Dee, so we were talking about your struggles with alcohol, and we were getting to you're overcoming it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I did the AA meetings and I pretty well followed what they suggested, and I did 1 minute at a time and, you know, 5 minutes at a time and 10 minutes at a time and half a day at a time, and I took it really slow and I just put one foot in front of the other. And now I'm nearly, I am 10 years sober.
Mm-hmm. 10 years.
I know. It still blows me away. Yeah. It's like, wow, 10 years. And, you know, getting sober at 39, you know, you think your world's over. You know, your life's done. You know, and I sit here today and I go, life done. Oh, my God. I'm finally able to be the man I want to be, you know. And, yeah, you know, nothing's easy, but nothing's that hard either.
Yep.
You know, you just got to change it. And there's been days where, you know, I've had to call on people, and I call them, you know, I call them my guards, because, you know, I want to pick up a drink and they come in and guard me.
Mm.
And it's not that they necessarily have to do anything, except I get to voice it.
Yes.
You know? And all I do is voice it.
Yeah.
And then I'm okay, you know, because it doesn't grow in my head.
Yeah. It just, you just get it off your chest.
Absolutely. So here I am. I'm 10 years sober.
A decade.
Cannot believe it.
Mm.
Blows me away. You know, I can't even remember why I had to drink that much.
Yeah.
I remember that I did.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I certainly hear people talking about being hungover, and I go, I remember those days, and boy, I don't miss them.
No. Nah.
Still gives me a sick feeling in my stomach when people say they're hungover. I go, oh, that's just, you know, so I'm 10 years sober. When I got sober, strangely enough, I couldn't work in the industry that I was working in, so I went back to the industry I knew, which was the building industry, and a business organically grew out of that, bit by bit. You know, I didn't really do a lot, I just did it, you know. So now I have my own business in the building industry, I renovate houses, and now I'm also a trans guy. So I'm 2 years on hormones. The first day that I got my first injection was the best drug I've ever had in my life.
Yeah. Way better than any beer.
Absolutely. Way better than anything you could give me.
Mm.
You know, yeah, I've worked on my stuff. You know, I figured it out. I got rid of all of those layers and I found out what my issue was.
Yeah. And that was the root of the course.
I needed to be a
guy. Yeah.
That's all. And, you know, society doesn't necessarily allow us that. So I'm 2 years on T. I had chest surgery nearly 8 months ago. I mean, you know, I can walk around shirtless.
Yeah. You lucky boy.
So, so cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, to be honest, this has come from being who I am, being honest to who I am. You know, there's a lot to be said when you can just stop for a moment and go and be who you are, no matter what.
Yep.
No matter who tells you otherwise, you know, if that's what you really feel, go find it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, you know? Yeah. That's great advice, because even people struggling with their sexuality might be trying to pretend to be straight and need to drink because they're pretending all the time.
Absolutely. It covers up. We cover it up. I mean, we drink or take drugs to cover up, you know, because the reality is so scary. The fear that's behind that is beyond what we can comprehend.
Mm.
So we get something that makes us feel good, you know, for that minute moment. But eventually it stops working. Mm. What then?
Yeah.
You know?
It even leads to worse symptoms. So if you're depressed in the first place and you drink because you're depressed, you're just going to get more depressed.
Absolutely. Or you go to the doctors, they put you on antidepressants and you swallow it down with drinking.
Yeah, well, yeah.
An antidepressant with a depressant, there's handy.
Mm, yeah.
It but, can you know, we don't think about these things because all we're trying to do is run away from this issue.
Yep.
But we don't know what the issue is.
That's it,
because
yeah.
we're running away from it.
Yeah.
You know, and I understand that. But if we stop for a moment and just have a brief look, actually, it's not that scary.
Mm. So be true to yourselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. Yeah.
And the hope involved in that, I mean, my God, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
I sit here with a smile on my face. I take my shirt off, but no one can see, so it's all right.
We can take some photos later.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a happy guy.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I'm a happy guy now too, now that I've, you know, I'm transitioning. And I think that was the root of my problem as well, is that I was just in the wrong body to make, you know, to say something cliche, I was born in the wrong body.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just didn't understand what all that was about.
Yeah.
Because when you're young and you're brought up in such a heteronormative environment, you sort of don't really know that gender is in the brain and not between the legs.
Absolutely.
And yes.
Absolutely.
It's a hard one to learn because it's so, there's so much to it and there's not much education about gender out there, especially for young people.
And that's what I found. I mean, there really wasn't. You know, I've done a huge amount of research. I did a huge amount of research before I actually, you know, decided to transition. As you do, you go through every possible, you know. I did counselling before starting from my own bat because I wanted to be really clear and you know, was this, you know, because I'd got over sexual abuse, I'd got over alcoholism, I'd put down the drugs in between that time. Did I really want to do this?
Yeah.
You know, I had to be sure because it's a big change.
Mm. And an irreversible ones, you know, some changes are
absolutely, but, you know, it's a big change in your world. Would I change that now? Not in $1 million.
Yeah.
You couldn't give me enough money to go back.
Yeah.
You couldn't. You couldn't do it.
No, neither. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the world.
Yeah. And the biggest part is, you know, you have to stop covering up to get there.
Yeah. That's right.
And then the hope is there.
Yeah. If you would like to call Lifeline, if you are struggling with alcohol or drugs, you can call Lifeline on 131114 or visit lifeline.org.au. There is also a direct line on 1-800-888-236 and they're 24 hours so you can call anytime. You don't have to be on the verge of having a drink to call them. You can call them just to have a chat if you need
to
have a chat.
Absolutely do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've met quite a lot of people now that work these lines, and damn, I wish I'd been smart.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, you know, I know we all have a path to travel and blah, 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 but I've spoken to these guys since then and gone, wow, I don't know why, you know, I didn't ring then. Mm. And I must say, can I just say that, you know, mobile phones are a lot easier nowadays and they're a lot more around that wasn't so much in my time.
Yep. And I suppose when you were in back in that surrounded by alcohol and not ringing them, even if you did have the number there in front of you and a phone, do you think that alcoholic brain would have gone, oh, effort, I won't ring them?
No, because really you have to look for the hope within yourself to stop. And I mean, I can't even really pinpoint that exact thought process, but for some strange reason, I felt some hope that I could change this.
Yeah.
But I didn't like where I was. I didn't know where to go from it, but there was something that told me.
Mm.
And so I followed that. And you know what? Whatever that something was right, you know, to this day.
Yeah. So it does come from the heart and it comes from your own heart.
It comes from your being.
Yeah.
You just have to listen for that one split second and go, you know what? I can change this. And you know what? You can. The best part, it's so worth it.
Yeah.
You know, totally. I know it's tricky to begin with. Yeah, damn right. But boy, in the end, you look back.
Mm. You look back and you say that's the best thing I ever did.
Absolutely. Because I would be dead otherwise.
Yeah, that's what I said to myself.
And I'd be dead as a female, not a male.
That
would suck.
That is the worst, isn't it?
So go for it. Make a phone call. Find the help that you want.
Yeah.
Contact. It can be slow. Just check it out.
Just check it out. Yeah. It doesn't have to be a phone call. It could be...
be anything.
It could be anything.
Go online. Type away, you know?
Yeah, that's it.
Just check it out because it is really worth it.
It is worth it. Yep, absolutely. And it does get better and you can come out the other side, just like Dee has.
Be true to yourself, guys. Be true.
So we've got a little message coming up and then we'll be back for a little while before the show ends. You're listening to Transposition on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. We've come to the end of our show. We've had Dee on talking about his battle with alcohol and how he came through because he's got a really positive story and, yeah, he's on top of the world now.
Absolutely.
So next week, we've got our special Radiothon show coming up. So you better be listening because I've got a very special show planned for you. And during that show, I would love it if you guys could sign up to be a Joy member. It is really cheap for a whole year, so I don't see why you wouldn't. And you can also win prizes. There's some awesome prizes. So please be listening next week for the Radiothon show. And next up tonight is Sci-Fi and Scream with Sonia. And, yeah, they'll be talking about some awesome stuff, and I can't wait to hear them. Dee, have you got any last words for anyone listening?
No, I just hope someone heard it. Just one person.
Well, we know that Andrew heard it because he sent us a little message.
Thanks, Andrew.
And if you're listening next week, you can SMS us on 0427JOY949. Or if you think of a question or something you want to say throughout the week, you can go on our Facebook page. You can find that through the Joy website, joy.org.au. Click on Transpositions and there is a link to our Facebook page. Also, I've got a few numbers here. If you do need some support, there's LGBTI-specific phone and online support at 1-800-184-527 or you can go to qlife.org.au. There is also Beyond Blue support service, which is really awesome, on 1-300-224-636 or you can email or chat at beyondblue.org.au. Alcoholics Anonymous, which Dee went to, they have several gay groups available. You can check them out at aamelbourne.org.au. Yeah, thank you so much, Dee, for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Chris, on the panel, and Jerry on the front desk. Yeah, it's been a great show. We'll speak to you next week. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.